Our final speaker is Jocelyn Stewart from the African American Women in Defense of Ourselves, and she is standing in for Kathy Cohen, who sends her regrets. She's ill with the flu. Jocelyn.
First, I'd like to thank the organizers of the conference for inviting a member of my group to speak. The scheduled speaker, as mentioned, was Kathy Cohen. However, she's home with the flu. She sends her apologies and me in her place. I also want to thank the previous speakers for so poignantly detailing to me the contradictions in Clarence Thomas's claimed identity, especially as we compare it to the work and the writings of Malcolm X. Unfortunately or fortunately, depending on how you value historical and comparative analysis, I'm going to focus on the work of a new group, historical and comparative analysis. I'm going to focus on the work of a new group, African American Women in Defense of Ourselves, as we came together to in fact challenge the ideology and the policies of Clarence Thomas as they took direct aim on the lives of black women and men. First of all, let me say that African American Women in Defense of Ourselves is not an official organization, not yet at least. What we are is an ad hoc group of more than 1,600 women of African descent who were drawn together by our shared outrage in response to the confirmation of Clarence Thomas to the U.S. Supreme Court. We were especially outraged by the contempt Thomas showed for all black people and in particular black women. Thomas's uncompromising embrace of the Republican Party's platform at a juncture when the party is spearheading the worst wholesale assault upon poor people and people of color in this country is only compounded by the vulgar and misogynist views that he's exhibited towards black women. This attack, we felt, could not be tolerated without a vocal and visible response. Although the Thomas Hill hearings were the specific events that precipitated our coming together in this particular forum, many of us are deeply engaged in many battlefronts in the war against racism, sexism, homophobia, AIDS, homelessness, and inaccessibility of health care and education, as well as the continuing struggle against police brutality. And we saw the Thomas Hill drama not as a single incident, but as something much bigger than two individuals most directly involved. It symbolized two very dangerous trends in this country, the rise and increasingly legitimacy in some circles of black neoconservatives pimping off the call for racial solidarity when they can use it to their benefit and stabbing us in the back at the first opportunity. And the second trend is the increasing hostility towards and the scapegoating of black women for the oppression of black men and for a whole range of problems now confronting our community. We're stereotyped as lazy, oversexed, welfare frauds, and incompetent, ineffectual parents to black male children who then end up tragically in prison or on drugs as a result of our negligence. It is currently popular and acceptable to minimize the plight of black women by underscoring the plight of black men, rendering black women invisible. In the spirit of the racist politician Daniel Patrick Monaghan, who popularized the myth of the pathological and emasculating black matriarch, some are still eager to blame black women for our own oppression and the oppression of others. Sadly, some of our misguided brothers and even a few sisters, for example, Shahrazad Ali, have slavishly echoed versions of this theory. The contempt and verbal abuse heaped upon Anita Hill during the Thomas hearing was symbolic of the way all black women are treated in this country. We've been characterized historically as lying, deceitful, promiscuous Jezebels who couldn't be raped and are not to be trusted. Therefore, it is implied that if Thomas did make sexual overtures to Anita Hill, she probably wanted it, or maybe he didn't say anything at all and she concocted the whole story after reading The Exorcist. The hearings underscore clearly and emphatically that the abuse of black women is not only not taken seriously, but is actively tolerated and encouraged. And of course, it's important to note that this happens much more often to domestic workers, factory workers, secretaries, and welfare recipients than to black law professors and Yale law graduate students. As women of African descent, we are under heavy assault today. And while we fight tooth and nail against the brutal lynching of our brothers, we will not for one second subordinate, diminish, or minimize our own reality of rape and abuse in the process. We must fight side by side in the tradition of Malcolm X, who would tell all segments of the community to defend themselves. When a black woman is sexually abused, it is much a byproduct of racism and as much a black issue as when a black man is assaulted, exploited, or demeaned. We have to get beyond the notion that when sexism or gender is raised, that it's automatically a white feminist issue and something foreign and unimportant to the lives of black women. We are beaten, raped, snatched, kicked, set on fire, abandoned, insulted, and humiliated every day in this country. And it comes to us from all angles. Our pain is black pain, and our rage is black rage. Now, what does all this have to do with Malcolm? It's important to note that some of the new black conservatives, like Clarence Thomas, are trying to win legitimacy among the masses of black people by laying claim to the tradition of black self-help and black determination. Clarence Thomas claims to be an admirer of some of the tenets of Malcolm X's philosophy and even boasts of having a recording of all of his speeches. But if we're clear in our analysis, we know that what the life of Clarence Thomas really represents is a betrayal of Malcolm's legacy down the line. Malcolm would no doubt turn over in his grave if he heard his name and his ideas misappropriated in such a vulgar way. To endorse self-help in no way lets the government off the hook for what it owes to African-American people in this country. We have as much, if not more, legal right to the resources of the nation as anyone else. Black conservatives distort the meaning of self-help and self-determination to serve the ends of their white conservative mentors in the White House and to justify eliminating vital services to poor people of color. And while Malcolm never articulated what I would term a clear, radical analysis of the oppression of African American women, he did constantly reaffirm the importance of placing those black people at the bottom of social and economic hierarchy, at the center of our collective struggle for liberation. In direct contrast to those house niggers, such as Clarence Thomas, who has aligned himself with the policies of the white government establishment or masters. Now, in that sense, at the center of our collective struggle for liberation. In direct contrast to those house niggers, such as Clarence Thomas, who has aligned himself with the policies of the white government establishment or masters. Now, in that sense, if we understand that poor black women are now increasingly some of the most oppressed members of our communities, then any movement which claims to be heir to Malcolm's legacy must place the issues of concern to African-American women at their center, not at the margin of their agenda. Finally, the initiators of African-American Women in Defense of Ourselves feel that one key aspect of the assault upon black women today is the concerted attempt to silence us and erase our experiences, our oppression, our voices from the larger dialogue about the political future of the community and this country. Today is the concerted attempt to silence us and erase our experiences, our oppression, our voices from the larger dialogue about the political future of the community and this country. So what African-American Women in Defense of Ourselves is saying is that we will not be silenced. We have the tradition of Sojourner Truth, Fannie Lou Hamer, Ella Baker, Asada Shakur, and Audre Lorde to uphold, and therefore we cannot be silenced. We are reaching out to women of African descent across the country to be a part of a dialogue about which way forward and how both better to defend ourselves against the current attacks and to mobilize offensively to fight for ourselves and our communities. Okay, anyone who wants to join African-American Women in Defense of Ourselves, growing dialogue about this issue can get on our mailing list. And you can do that by reaching me after this panel or by calling our voicemail box at air code 312-918-2702. And once again, thank you.